Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Amen. How many know God is good? Hallelujah. I want to go more say now. Amen. Okay, so Genesis 12 verse 1 says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And so this is, most Christians, you'll know this. This is when God is calling Abraham. And God has so much to give this guy, Abraham. God really wants to bless him big time. Amen. How many know God is good? Hallelujah. I want to go more say now. Amen. Okay, so Genesis 12 verse 1 says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And so this is, most Christians, you'll know this. This is when God is calling Abraham. And God has so much to give this guy, Abraham. God really wants to bless him big time. Now, tonight, how many of you would like that God would bless your life big time? Some of you are like, no, we know what you're going to do. So how many would like God to bless your life big time? Amen. And so the Bible says that God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, if you think about this, as of today, we have the land Israel. That is the nation that has come from Abraham. Now, Abraham was told, you got to leave where you are, and then I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, most people don't even know where Abraham came from. And in the Bible, actually says where he came from is called Ur. You are. Now, if you're a theologian, you'd be like, man, that's around, whatever. But think about this now. We all know Israel. Nobody knows Ur. Nobody knows where he's left. And so God saw him in Ur. I mean, it just sounds odd. Ur. It sounds like, yeah, go on. Where are you from? No. And so he saw where he was and says, where I want to take you is going to be great. And how many know Israel is better than Ur? God not only said, I'm going to make you a great nation. He says, I'm going to make your name great. Now, I've met many Abrahams. Maybe there's a few in the building. Big up yourself. How many know we've all met an Abraham? Now, but Abraham is going to have a great name, but his name is greater than his father's name because his father is, I think it, how you pronounce it, Terah. Terah. Now, I've not met a Tar, Terah, Tar, whatever, you know, the correct name of it. So think about it now. Here is this man, and God says, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more for you, but this is where I want to really home in tonight, is that for Abraham to be blessed, he had to tap into a principle in the Bible, and that principle is this. You're going to have to leave to receive. You're going to have to leave before you get Israel. You're going to have to leave Tar before you get Abraham. You're going to have to leave before you can receive. Now, this is a biblical principle. And God is showing us right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, this is how he works. Now, conference is really all about leaving. Conference is really all about leaving. Because if you think about this, we wouldn't have a conference if a couple didn't leave. Everything we're seeing here, I mean, everything we're seeing tonight, yesterday, all the sermons for the rest of the week, all of the preaching is powerful. But a couple had to leave. Pastor Paul Stevens and his wife, they left where they were and they came to the UK. And because they left, we've received. They had to leave so that we could receive. If you think about conference, not only did a couple have to leave, you think every couple has had to leave. In South London, we've had 4 pastors. And so Pastor Carnegie had to leave to come here. Pastor Peter had to leave to come here. Pastor Fred has had to leave to come here. For us to have conference, there has to be leaving. Without leaving, there is no conference. The thing that gets us the most excited in conference, the most excited is not the fellowship. How many know the fellowship is good? Fellowship is sweet. I haven't seen you. You're looking good, looking slim. You look, amen. But how many know it's not the fellowship that gets you the most excited? It's not even the music. Who's going to minister? That's not getting us. It's good. The music last night was great. I'm sure tonight it's going to be great. Wednesday's going to be good. All week's going to be good. But it's not even the music. The sermons are powerful. Like usually, you know, last night, Monday night, Pastor Fred, it's almost like it's over before it begun. It's almost like, yeah, God, you got me. Okay, it's done. But then today, powerful messages. And so, but even that is not what gets us the most excited. Because you know what's going to happen? On Friday night, this place is going to be packed. On Friday, there's people already. They're not here now. They won't be here tomorrow. They won't be here Thursday. But Friday, they're going to come here. Because what is the most thing, the thing that gets us the most excited about conference, everybody's going to come here for this. They want to see somebody leave. Sounds, when I said it, I just realized it sounded weird, yeah. But really, that's what it's about. If at the end of the conference, if no one's leaving, I'll see you next year. Okay, yeah, I'll see you. So conference is about leaving. There has to be this leaving. And so just like Abraham, I want to tell you right now, God wants to bless your life. Just like Abraham, God wants to bring you from here to here. God wants to bring you to a new dimension. God has greater things for us in our churches, in our ministries, in our marriages, in our businesses, in our finances. Like God did to Abraham, he wants to do to you. God initiated the blessing. We do not see nowhere that Abraham is like, you know what, God, bless me, I'll leave. If you do this, I'll do that. No. God says, I want to bless you. I want to make you great. I want to give you a name. God is saying to us today, listen, congregation, listen, South London Conference, listen, individual, man or woman, I want to bless you. I have more things for you. But to receive it, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave. There are couples here. You're going to have to leave this week. God has been moving in your heart. There's destiny here. There's something. You're sitting in your church, but you know there's more. This conference, you're going to have to leave. But not just couples. There are people here that you want your marriage to be blessed. You're going to have to leave some things behind this conference. You have to leave selfishness behind. You're going to have to leave pride behind. Some married people, you have to leave the single mindset behind. Some of you, you want to get married. You're going to have to leave some childishness behind. If you want to move from here to here and God to move in your life, you've got to leave before you can receive. Now, I said all that to say this. Today, we can all tap into this principle. We can all tap into this principle. Because when you leave something for God, you tap into an extra dimension with God. When you leave something for God, your prayer, your discipleship, your church, your life, your marriage, you tap into a different dimension with God. Let me prove it. Matthew 19, 29 says this. This is Jesus speaking. And everyone who has left. This is for everyone who leaves. You leave something. You give. You say, you know what? I want to leave this at the conference. He says this. Everyone who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or child or land for my name's sake shall receive 100 times, 100-fold and eternal life. Jesus is saying, if you want to receive, you must leave. When you leave, you tap in. The disciples were saying, you know what, at birth this, the disciples are like, we've left some stuff. Jesus says, right, you have left some stuff. And I want you to know this. This has made you tap into something. This conference is a moment where you can decide, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave something. I didn't just come to receive, but I'm willing to leave some things. I'm willing to leave something. I'm willing to invest my finances into this conference. I'm willing to leave some finances behind. Jesus says, if you leave something, you will receive. Pastors, there are things that you want over the next year for your church. God is watching tonight. He's saying, if you leave, you can receive. Thank you, Brandon. There are couples here. If you're willing to leave, you can receive. You tap into something more. In the Bible, there's a guy called the rich young ruler. Pastor Fred, you know, masterfully spoke about this yesterday. How many know nobody don't want to be that guy? No one looks at that and envies him. No one reads that in the Bible and be like, oh, I wish I was him. All the guy's not a bad guy. He's not out there selling crack. He's not a pimp. He's not doing bad things, robbing people. All he did is he said, no, I'm just not leaving. I'm not going to leave something. He wants to receive it. He says, I'm just not leaving. Tonight, we're going to say, you know what? It's not about I'm compelled, I have to. No, you don't have to. But it's about saying, you know what? I've met with Jesus. I love Jesus. You know what? When I meet with Jesus, I want to leave something. Jesus saw the widow. She left. A few years ago, I went to, I can't remember where it was. I think it was either Benin or Congo. I can't remember. I was preaching somewhere. It was either Benin or Congo. And I went there, changed some pounds into their currency. And so we was out with the pastor. We're doing things. I come back. I realized I had some currency. I had quite a lot of currency still in the thing. But I didn't change it when I was there. And so I came back to the UK. And so I go to the airport and I say, can I change this? The woman was like, what is this? I was like, this is money. She said, no, you can't change that here. I went to Marks and Spencer's. You know, they do the transaction there. They if they won't do it at the airport, they're definitely not doing it there. The woman said, you're going to have to go to like the consulate or their embassy or something. Literally, I didn't do nothing with that money till I went back there 2 years later and then gave it back to the guy. Once I left there, it was worthless. I want to tell you, one day we're going to leave this place. One day we're going to leave this place. Right now, you could leave this conference and keep what you've got. But I'm telling you, you'll look back and be like, you know what? I should have invested here. It's worthless now. It's worthless now. I never regret giving in a conference. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to be honest. Don't tell nobody. I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's been seasons where I should have given and I didn't. I always regret it. Not because bad things happen. God's not like that. Come on. But I just said, why didn't I give it? Why was I holding on to it? Tonight, let us leave so that we can receive. I want to ask you to come forward. What we want to do is we want to pray. I want you to pray right now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to go do an altar call. Don't worry. But I want you to start to pray right now and say, what can we leave? What can I leave here? God, what are you telling me to leave? God is saying, listen, I've got so much for you. I want to bless you. There's pastors here. God says, you know, I want to do so much in this church. You need things. You're looking at your account. I want to do this. I want to do that. And God is like, listen, I can do all of that. But right now, there's going to be a need here. Leave this here. You need to leave to receive. I can give you testimony after testimony of people that have told me, Pastor, I went to conference, did this. And this is what happened. Do not miss this moment. Father, I pray right now that you would help us. Father, I pray that we would give, that we would be liberal, that we would trust you. I rebuke every lie of the enemy that you are a taker and not a giver. Father, that you just want to take. Father, that is far the furthest from the truth. You are a blesser. You have such good things for us, great things for us. Let us not miss the moment. Let us leave so that we can receive this week in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8 through 11. I appreciate that introduction and those very kind words. I want to preach for a moment on discerning what I call the whispers or the hushed tones of God. There's an old gospel song that said, hush and listen, somebody's calling my name. Oh, my Lord, what shall I do? What the song implies is that though preachers proclaim and we can be very boisterous, we can shout and we can declare, but God seldom shouts. Many times he speaks in whispers. He speaks with a still small voice. It speaks to the intimacy of God, that God is a personal God, that God is, he's intimate. He's the God of Abraham. He knows people by name, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. So if you're here tonight, God knows you by name. And his desire is to be able to whisper to you tonight, to speak to you. And therefore, if we're going to be able to hear this whisper, there's a certain stillness that we need. There's a certain calmness that we need in our own spirits. We have to quiet some things. We have to be still and know that he is God. We have to arrest some stuff in our lives. And so we're going to read this scripture. It is very familiar, but it is profound, and it never loses its power. And I want you to read with me tonight. I really appreciate that singing tonight. That was powerful. I almost got up and ran on the stage, but I didn't want to get kicked out. So let's read together 1 Samuel 3, 8, 3, 11. You did pretty good reading this morning. I give you a B. You can raise your grade, though. God is good. On the count of three, let's read in concert. as we consider my assignment tonight. Hush and listen. Somebody's calling my name. 1, 2, 3. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Circle that. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant listen." And the Lord stood and called as it was at other times, at other times. He's spoken before, but he speaks again. I just wanted to say that. 1, 2, 3. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Hush and listen. Somebody's calling my name. The hush tones of God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's that word follow again. Simply, that one of the identifying marks or signs of my sheep or my children is that they have developed ears that hear. They've developed ears that hear. It's not automatic. They have went through a process now that they have the ability to connect themselves to the divine frequency and hear what God is saying. That anytime you step into the house of God, it is God's house. And he is on stage now. He told me this one time. He said, "Every time you come here, I'm on stage. All you're doing is introducing me. Everything you do, you're introducing God that he may speak to somebody. Every time you go on an outreach, it's not about your ability. It's that you are putting God on the stage and that people need to hear his voice." Ooh, I feel an anointing. Stay with me, church. Henry Blackaby said, "If you have trouble hearing God speak, you are in trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience." So the beauty of our text is that God speaks not only to priests and the prophets, but in our text, he is speaking to a young boy. It reveals the importance of understanding that God wants to touch the next generation. In the Old Testament, God is showing us something. He is concerned about young folks developing a sensitivity to hear from God. That's why I say sometimes you need to bring the youth into the service. I know we have children in church, but they need to come into the service that they can start hearing from God. Can I get two witnesses in the house? They need to be in an adult service. Sometimes that they can begin to develop an ear that can hear what it sounds like to be able to hear from God. In our text, Samuel is awakened by the voice of God. It was so real. He thought Eli was calling him. He wakes up the first time he runs. He hears this voice, "Samuel, Samuel." He gets up. He says, "Man, Eli must be calling me." He runs over. Eli's knocked out. He wakes him up. "Yes, sir." He says, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "You called me, didn't you?" He said, "No, man, go lay back down." He said, "Man, I just knew you called me." He went to the young boy. He lays back down. He hears his voice, "Samuel, Samuel." Can you imagine God speaking over the banister of heaven? Samuel. Bible says that he gets up again and runs over to Eli. He said, "Yes, sir, I'm here." He says, "Man, I didn't call you." Then the Bible says it happens again. And then he says, listen, he perceived what? That God was trying to speak to the boy. That God was trying to speak to the child. And the Bible says, the next time you hear that voice, say, "Lord, your servant is listening to you." And he lays back down and he responds to God. In verse 9, his instructions is when he calls you, respond, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." He is saying, "God, now I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me, God." That every time you come here, you should be saying, "God, speak to me. I'm listening to you now. I've quieted everything. I've shut all the other voices out. Speak to me. All the things that happened to me along the day, I've silenced them. All the things that happened last year and what they're saying in the news, I've silenced all the voices. The only voice that matters is yours." And now he's speaking to this young boy. Any pastor that has any level of maturity will always encourage his disciples, you must hear from God. You must hear from God. Stay with me. His willingness to listen to Eli's instruction to go and lie back down is going to bring him into the intimacy of God's voice. To access his presence, all your senses must lie down. All your emotions must lie down. All your feelings must lie down. All of your ideas and ideologies must lie down. All of your fleshly ways must lie down. You must totally surrender to the voice. All of your opinions must lie down. All of your agendas have to be put to rest. You got to put it to bed now because God's about to speak. Ah, God's about to speak to me. He says, go and lie down. Everything must be surrendered. I don't care what you think you know and how much you've learned and the schools that you have matriculated through and all the things that you've been taught. You got to lie down now. There's no sensual perception in relationship with God. You can't access God with your feelings. You can't access God with your flesh. You have to lie down. Oh, I'm just talking. The words that God spoke to Samuel changed the trajectory of his life so much so that Samuel now becomes the premier prophet in the Old Testament now. He's developed such an ear from God now that the Bible says in verse 19, I believe it is, the Bible says that whenever he would speak, not a word would fall to the ground. Whenever he would speak, and Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did not let none of his words fall. Anytime he prophesied, all of his prophecies would come to pass. You know why? Because he developed what? To hear from God. It wasn't Samuel that was speaking. Every time he spoke, it was the voice of God. And none of his words fell to the ground. And God used him in such a powerful way because his ears were attuned to the very voice of God. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is about to anoint the next king of Israel. And he goes to the house of Jesse. You know this story. They all line up there. And he has his oil with him, his horn of oil. And he is about to anoint Eliab to be, amen, the next king. He looks at Eliab. He sees this fine-looking man. He says, surely this is going to be the next king of Israel. He takes his horn of oil. He's about to pour it on him. And all of a sudden, the hushed tones of God comes. It's not him. And he pulls it back. He's about to anoint him. He goes down the line. All of his sons are there. He goes down the line, down the line. God says, no, 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 no. He says, wait a minute, man. I know God told me to come to your house. He says, you got any more children? He said, yeah, I got one little boy. He says, call him. And as soon as little David came from the back, as Samuel sees him, he turns and he sees him. And when he sees him, amen, the hushed tones of God, that's the one. And he anoints David to be the king of Israel. And from his seed shall come forth Messiah. What if he would have anointed the wrong one? That's just food for thought. You got to hear from God. What's amazing is the process of selection. It all has to do with this heightened level of sensitivity to hear the voice of God. If Samuel didn't develop an ear that could hear, he would be controlled by his natural senses, by the opinions and ideas of others, thus anointing the wrong person. And much of the time, the success of your ministry and your marriage and your relationship has to do with hearing the voice of God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It would have been about, 1981 or so. Cheers. I was in the Air Force, and I've been saved a short while, early 80s, and so I'm walking across the base to go follow up on this guy. Walking across the base, and I can remember it like yesterday. I step on the sidewalk. When I step on the sidewalk, the hushed tones of God. And God says, you're finished. And I said, what was that? But I knew it was God. I went home and I told my wife, God says, I'm finished. I had a 6-year enlistment. I was at the end of that enlistment. I had to decide whether I was going to re-enlist or get out of the military. I went home and told my wife, God just spoke to me. Oh, it was so clear in my spirit. It lapped in my spirit. She says, okay. I said, you get to learn how to play the piano, girl, because we're going to be out of here soon. I says, we rolling out. I got out of the military in September. During that time, we had two conferences in October and June. In the October conference, guess what I got sent out? I heard the voice of God. My pastor heard the voice of God, and I stepped into destiny because that's how God moves. He speaks to his people. Somewhere along the line, God has to speak to you. Somewhere along the line, God has to drop something into the womb of your spirit that can burn something in your life. Somewhere along the line, you have to hear the voice of God for yourself. You got to hear from God for yourself. And I stepped into the wheel of God, and I stepped into destiny because I heard his voice. Consider it with me, surrendering to the voice. The priest Eli enters into the revelation of the intimacy of the voice of God and learns if God can speak to me, he can speak to anyone. This man had all kinds of problems, but God was speaking to him, and he learns that if God can speak to me, he can speak to anyone. If God can speak to me, he can speak to anyone. He can speak to you in the seasons of your trouble, in the seasons of life. He can speak to you about your calling and your about your purpose in life. He can speak to you at the crossroads of your life. Some people, you're at a crossroad. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But God wants to speak to you and give you a word and let you know that I have a plan for your life. You are not an accident. You're not an incident. You are not a mistake. You were created by God for such a time as this. And God wants to drop something in your spirit and let you know that the best days are ahead of you. Eli realized that if God can speak to this old prophet, he can speak to anyone. He's teaching us something. See, a lot of people tonight all over the world are counting on you to surrender to his voice. There are nations waiting on you to surrender to his voice. There are people in bondage waiting on you to surrender to the voice of God. Cities waiting on you to hear the voice. They're counting on you. Their children counting on their parents to hear the voice of God. Their wives counting on their husband, amen, to hear the voice of God. Amen, because they understand that if you can hear that voice, it'll change the trajectory of their lives. It can change the trajectory of a nation. It can change things in the earth realm. If I can just hear what the Spirit of God is saying, if I can get in the frequency of God, then I can move in the power of God and do things I never thought that I could do before. Because if God before me, what in the world can be against me? Stay with me. Listen, we must begin to ask God for Samuel ears. Hearing speaks to sensing. Case in point, in 1 Kings 19:19, the mantle of God. The Bible says that the prophet Eli carried this mantle on him. And this mantle was a picture of the authority of God. Or you could say the voice of God. He carried this mantle with him. Bible says one day he's walking by this field, and this young man by the name of Elijah is working in the field. He takes the mantle, the Bible says, and he casts it upon him, and he pulls it back. That is a picture of the voice of God, the whisper of God that goes by Elijah. The Bible says as Elijah kept on walking, he heard that whisper. He felt that touch of God and that pull of God. He looked at the prophet and says, wait a minute. I got a lot of oxen. I got servants and I got land. I got inheritance. Let me deal with this stuff. He says, man, that's not my business. He keeps on moving down. And the Bible says that God began to constrain him. That voice, that whisper was on him so strong. That voice was pulling him. That's what God does. He compels you. He draws you with his voice. He whispers to you and say, this is your day. Don't miss your day. Don't miss the call on your life. Destiny awaits you. There's a new day for you. I'm calling you up. I'm calling you out. You've come tonight and God is calling you. Whisper. The Bible says he went back, he took, amen, the plow. He broke the plow and he slew the cow, amen. And he made an offering to God. He slew the cow, he broke the plow, and then he turned and he ran and he began to follow the man of God. The Bible says as he followed the man of God, it came to a point that's one day he got, amen, the mantle and the double portion of the Spirit of God. Because whenever you obey the voice, you step into the destiny. You step into the power of the living God. See, the reason a lot of people are not seeing anything in their ministry and in their lives is because they've never broken the plow and slain the cow. They never dealt with option B. They never come to a place and surrender fully to the will of God. When I was in the Air Force, I loved the Air Force, but I had to slay the cow. I had to break the plow, and I had to run after the will of God. Woo, stay with me, somebody. I'm coming where you live. So it becomes important because it's powerful. He senses this holy hush moment. His response is so powerful that he experiences this double portion of anointing in his life. And here we find the reason that so many cannot hear the voice of God. Amen. Because they will not eliminate plan B, pressing toward the high calling. There's a higher calling here tonight, a higher calling. Amen. It's above anything that you're doing right now. If God called you, it's the highest calling on the planet. It is the most honorable calling. It is a calling, amen, to stand and be a mouthpiece for God, to be a conduit of power, amen, in a place that is broken. Nations are waiting for you to hear the whisper of God. Let me show you what I'm saying. I'm going to let you go. Your obedience to respond brings you into what I call the preceding word of God. The preceding word of God. Matthew 4:4. Listen to this. It is written, man shall not live by every word alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The preceding word teaches us how to proceed. It teaches us how to proceed. We need God to teach us the next step, what we need to do and how we need to do it. In Genesis 22:1-2, Abraham, he receives this word from God. He says, I want you to take your son. I want you to go to the mount, build an altar, and sacrifice your son, thine only son. He takes his son. Surely his heart is broken. He climbs the mountain with his only son, the son whom he loveth. He prayed unto God for this son. He climbs this mountain now and gets to the top. He fashions this altar. He takes his son, lays him on the altar. He raises the knife to kill his son. In verse 20, Genesis 22, verse 10 through 11 or 12 says this. Put that up there for me, brother. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld not thy son, thine only son, from me. Here he is. He takes his son. God tells him, he hears the whisper, take your son. He goes up the mountain. He's climbing up the mountain. He takes the knife. He's about to kill his son. And all of a sudden, a whisper, a preceding word, a word that went before him. And because he heard the preceding word, he didn't kill his son. See, if you can't hear from God, you'll kill things that shouldn't die. If you can't hear from God, you'll give up on stuff that you shouldn't give up on. The preceding word that went before him, he met that word. And because he had developed this ear to hear from God, he stayed his hands. And God was so blessed by this man. In verse 16 and 17, listen what he says to him. Listen what he says. This is a beautiful thing here. This is God talking now. I love God. He's a conversationalist. And he said, by myself I've sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee In multiplying, I will multiply thee. This is power. God says, because you have developed such an ear to hear, because you're always attentive to my voice, you're always listening to me. My God, can you say that? He says, because you've done this now, I'm going to do for you what you have not asked for. I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. And here's the question. Why did God bless him? Because he could hear his voice and change his direction. Can you allow God to change your direction? Maybe you're doing this today. Can God bring a word to you to change your direction? You say, this is what I'm doing right now. Can God whisper and say, hey, I want you to go here. When you do that, God says, I'm going to bless you, man. I'm going to give you seed. I'm going to give you blessings, and I'm going to multiply like the sand of the seashore. I was in Athens, Georgia, pastoring. And one day I got a call, and the pastor wanted to ask me if I wanted to go and preach a revival in Liberia. And I, you know, church was small in Athens. I said, yeah, I'll go. You know, and he said, well, go check out Sierra Leone. Listen, just because I'm black don't mean I want to go to Africa. Listen, I was doing fine in America. Huh? Oh, yeah. But when God gets involved in stuff, stay with me, church. When God gets involved in stuff, it's God's intention to develop in you an ear that can hear, for it will save you in the storm. Stay with me. In Matthew 14, 22 to 31, Jesus comes to the disciples in a storm. It captures for us our need to individually develop the Samuel ears that I'm talking about. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it's the spirit. And they cried out for fear. But Jesus, listen what he said. Jesus spoke unto who? Oh, you missed it. Jesus spoke unto them. Everybody say them. Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. In verse 29, he said, come. Listen, Jesus didn't say, Peter, come. Jesus said, come. He spoke unto them. He spoke unto them. And Peter said, Lord, bid me to come. Why did Peter step out? Because he heard. The other guys didn't hear. That's why they were probably tripping at Peter. Said, what you think you doing, man? Walking on out on the water. You better get yourself back over here. And he said, no, you don't understand. Bro, call me. He just, didn't y'all hear that? See, everybody don't have ears that can hear. You got to develop your own ears to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. Say, I'm almost there. Listen, we understand that God uses pastors and teachers as conduits of truth who bring great direction concerning ideas and opportunities for your life. However, somewhere along the line, you must develop your own pair of Samuel ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And so here I am, Pastor Warner. He says, what do you think about this? And so I go over there and I'm not, you know, I'm not even really thinking anything about Africa. Thinking about Africa, you know, I'm just gonna go preach it in this crusade. It's a church that we were trying to help initially there in Liberia. So I take a flight to Sierra Leone. Maybe you heard the story. You hear it again. Cheer. I get on this plane. I'm on this plane, and I'm sitting there. It's a small little plane. All of a sudden, people come on, and I knew I was in trouble when the lady came on some chickens. She came on chicken, and I said, "Oh, this is a different type of thing going on here." She came on with chickens. I said, okay, all right, okay, I'm going to make it through. Then the next lady came on with a goat. I said, Lord, we stepping into something now, ain't we, Lord? The plane, people were standing in the aisle like on a bus. I kid you not. There is no door to the cockpit. You can see the pilot in there. I said, Lord. I was in the Air Force, man. You know what I'm saying? This is against every regulation. And so this guy, he takes off, and I'm not joking, we're flying like treetop level. I'm like, Lord, only thou knowest. Kid you not, we land in Freetown, Sierra Leone, Lungi Airport, 1900, I think it was 88 or so. The door opens. I'm the first one off the plane. Kid you not, because I'm sitting in the front. get off the plane, and as I step onto the soil, the hushed tones of God. Son, you're home. Just like that. Hey, I'm passionate. I'm passionate over here in Athens, Georgia. Life is good, man. I'm passionate over here in the churches. You know, things are happening. Hushed tones. Feel God speaking to somebody. Hushed tones. Can God change your direction? Yeah, life is good here. Abraham has his son and knife in his hands, and he hears the hushed tones of God. The preceding word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You can't live for God. You cannot be what God wants you to be. You can't do what God wants you to do if you don't hear the words of God, his voice, his voice. Oh, I feel an anointing. Stay with me. And so God says, you're home, son. In John 4, as I close, the Samaritan teach us a valuable truth. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 39 to 42. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever had did. And many more believed because of his word. And he said to the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We thank you for what you said, but he spoke to us. We heard him ourselves. When you can testify and tell people, I heard him myself. I have my own relationship with God. It's not what just a preacher said, but I know him for myself. I don't just believe because of what you say. I thank God for what you say, but he said the same thing to me. Listen, as I close, here's the hard truth of our text. Eli realizes that God is speaking to Samuel, and he's no longer speaking to him. He's speaking to Samuel. He ain't speaking to Eli no more. Samuel. Eli was there. Listen, there was a time that God would call to Eli, and he would listen. But there came a time he no longer responded to the voice of God. God says, Eli, deal with your children. Eli, deal with your children. He'll speak to you about relationships that you're in. Deal with that relationship. Hey, God, speaking. I feel God right now speaking to people. Deal with that thing. Eli, deal with your children. And then the Bible says he stops speaking. And he says, Samuel. God was calling. Sometimes we feel like we've been passed over for the youth. Maybe God has been calling you and you haven't been using all these young folks. He's been calling you, Eli. But you're not listening. Hush and listen. Somebody's calling me. Oh, my Lord, what shall I do? When I stepped off that plane, church, you got to understand what I'm saying. When I stepped off that plane on that ground, the hushed tones of God, you're home now. He says, you know what? When you did that in multiplying, I will multiply thee.